Again, Philippians, of course, is one of the prison epistles of Paul. While he was a prisoner in Rome, he makes reference to his imprisonment in chapter 1, verse 7, verse 13, verse 14, and verse 16. The book, of course, derives its name from those to whom Paul was writing in the city of Philippi. From chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that it is a church epistle. The establishment of the Philippian church was during Paul's second missionary journey. That is recorded in Acts 16, verses 11 through 40. And from that, we know that Lydia was a member of this church. The Philippian jailer and his family were members of this church. Their baptism is recorded there in Acts chapter 16. From 2 Corinthians 8 and Acts chapter 20, it appears that during Paul's third missionary journey that he visited Philippi two other times. Also from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2, it appears that this church was very poor. From Philippians 1, 28 through 30, we see that they were suffering trouble from persecution. Yet in spite of all of this, in chapter 4, verses 10 through 18, we see that the Philippian church excelled all others in its attachment and generosity to Paul. And it was while Paul was a prisoner in Rome that the church of Philippi sent Epaphroditus to Paul. And they sent him, from chapter 4, we gather this, that they sent him with a contribution. They sent him there to minister to the needs of Paul. But we know from chapter 2 that Epaphroditus suffered a near fatal illness. And in chapter 2, it's recorded that Paul was going to send Epaphroditus back to Philippi. And no doubt with this letter, the book of Philippians, in his hand. Now, Paul had several reasons, several purposes in writing the letter. He wanted to express thanks to them. He does that in chapter 4 for their faithful support. He also wanted to explain why he was sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi, lest anyone think that Epaphroditus failed in his ministry to Paul. He also wanted to inform them about his own circumstances while at prison. And then, of course, he wanted to instruct and to encourage them spiritually. Tonight, we want to read verse 13, chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is a simple statement of fact from Paul. It's truly one of the most glorious statements in Scripture. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A very familiar verse to most of us. One which we have read and heard many times, but reading it and hearing it is not enough. We must realize the truth of it in our lives. And in this statement, Paul is giving an explanation on why he was able to remain faithful to God even while in adverse circumstances. It also serves as instruction and encouragement to the Philippians And we want to speak tonight on, just looking at this verse, an explanation of and an encouragement to the Christian life. And we see that in this verse. This verse explains the Christian life. It explains how we are able to live the Christian life. And it serves as an encouragement to live that life. Again, one of the reasons that Paul is writing is to inform them about his own circumstances. So it is a book that reveals the feelings of Paul, reveals the mindset of Paul, reveals his spirit. It reveals his attitude during this imprisonment. These are things that Paul was feeling while imprisoned. He also speaks in chapter 2 in particular, he speaks of his aspirations for Christ, his determination, his devotion to Jesus Christ. Again, all while imprisoned. So he was a man who was living above his circumstances. He was not controlled by his circumstances. He's living above his circumstances. And again, our text here is an explanation of how he was able to do that. It was Christ in him. It was Christ strengthening him. So though the letter was written from prison, it's not a letter of gloom, but it is known as an epistle of joy. Paul uses the word joy 4 times in the book. He uses the word rejoice 9 times. So 13 references to joy or rejoicing. And he speaks of his own experience of joy and rejoicing. Notice in Philippians 1 and verse 4, he says, always, again, he's in prison, always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy. He prayed for them. Again, there's a valuable lesson there. When dealing with adverse circumstances, pray for someone else. Get your mind off yourself. Pray for someone else. And he did so with joy. And then notice verse 18 of chapter 1. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I rejoice and will rejoice. Chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. He didn't know if he was going to come out of this imprisonment. I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So here's a man who's in very adverse circumstances. He's in prison. Much worse than prisons of our day. And Philippians 4 verse 13 explains how it was that Paul could rejoice in adverse circumstances. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So he's rejoicing, but he's not doing this in his own strength. He's doing this because he's being strengthened by the Lord. Also, though, under these circumstances, he maintained a spirit of thankfulness, gratefulness. Notice in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Again, when in adverse circumstances, think of someone else. Get your mind off yourself. But he's grateful here. He maintained gratefulness in adverse circumstances. We see in chapter 1, verses 4 and 9, that he continued in prayer. He continued to pray for the Philippians. He also maintained confidence. in the Lord. He said in verse 6 of chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he maintains his confidence. He also had an awareness of the grace of God. In verse 7 of chapter 1, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. He realized that he was a recipient of grace. He realized that the Philippians were recipients of grace. He was able to see the good in his circumstances. We see in verses 12 through 17 of chapter 1, he says, all of these things have happened unto me for the furtherance of the gospel. He also remained steadfast and very resolved in the gospel. We see in verse 17, he said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Again, he's in prison. We see also he remained hopeful. In chapter 1 and verse 20, he was not given over to despair. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. So he remained hopeful, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He maintained the spirit of simply wanting to magnify Christ, whether he continued to live or whether he would be put to death. And we see also in chapter 2 that Christ remained the purpose of his life. Christ remained the goal of his life. We see that he was fixated upon Jesus Christ, as he writes there in chapter 2. Christ is, in chapter 3, Christ is still the yearning of his life. He's still the pursuit of his life. He's still the one that he craves. Again, his circumstances did not change any of these things. And the reason is we find here in our text, through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. We see also in his imprisonment, in chapter 4 and verse 7, he speaks of the peace of God which passeth understanding. It was something that he enjoyed at this time. Chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he states that he had learned to be content in whatever state that he was in. So, he has a spirit of calm about him. He has a spirit of fulfillment. He's calm, he feels spiritually fulfilled, and it's all explained here in Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That verse also serves as a description of the Christian life. It describes the life that you and I are to live. Again, here in Philippians 4, verse 13, we see that it is a life in association with Christ. You notice the personal pronouns, I and me. And then you notice there's a connection between I and me and Jesus Christ. He says, I can do all things through Christ. I, through, by means of Jesus Christ. I, by means of Christ, can do all things. He couldn't do all things in and of himself. He could do all things by the means of Jesus Christ. So you see, there's a connection between him and Christ, which strengtheneth, which referring back to Christ, which strengtheneth me. So Paul is saying, I'm connected to Jesus Christ and I live my life that way. I live my life connected to Jesus Christ. So many today want to have Christianity separate and apart from Jesus Christ. That's not Christianity. That's carnality. That's fleshly. There's nothing Christian about it once Christ is removed. And we see here a connection. And you follow Paul's life through all of his letters, and you see that he lived his life connected to Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The emphasis there is through Christ. That is the operative phrase. Through Christ. Through Christ. Christ does not change. So, therefore, it doesn't matter what circumstances are. It doesn't change what we have here. I can do all things through Christ. There must be a right balance between I and Christ. And what we do, we have here two entities, ourselves and Christ. Ourselves and Christ. And what we do with those two entities, where we place those two entities, defines the life that we live, determines the life that we live. I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because He strengtheneth me. So the Christian life is not a life that we can live apart from Christ. It is a life that we live connected to Jesus Christ. It is a life vitally related to Jesus Christ. And if our life is not vitally related to Jesus Christ, it's carnal. Remember, Paul said to the Corinthians, "You're yet carnal." They were saved, but they were living carnal lives. They were not living their lives connected. They were not living their lives in relation to Jesus Christ. So the Christian life, of course, is a life in association with Christ. And by that, I mean everything about our life is to be in association with Christ. All the decisions we make, the choices we make, the places we go, the way we think, it's all to be associated with Jesus Christ. He's to be associated in every aspect, every department of our life. That's the Christian life. We see also it is a life of Christ within. He refers to this in chapter 1 and verse 6. He said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you." He began the work. It is a work within, and he will perform it. He will continue to perform it. He will continue to work within the saved individual. So the Christian life is God working in us. He didn't just begin a work at salvation and then leave it alone. But he continues to work. We see the same thing in chapter 2 and verse 13. "For it is God which worketh," present tense, ongoing, "in you." And what does he work? He works to will and to do of his good pleasure. He causes us to want to do his will, and he causes us to do his will. It is Christ working in us. And this is what Paul is referring to when he says, "which strengtheneth me." It is Christ working in him, giving him the strength to do everything that he's done here while he's in prison. We see also it is a life of Christ's power. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul is saying, I'm strong for all things. I have the ability in all things. I am strong in the one who constantly infuses strength into me. I don't have to work up strength. I don't have to go and look for strength. Christ strengtheneth me, Paul says. He's working in us. He gives us the strength. Paul is saying that Christ infuses so much strength into him, so much power into him, that he is now strong and he is now able in all things. And again, in the context, it is whether it be in abasement or abounding, whether it be in poverty or whether it be in riches, whether it be in hunger or whether it be in fullness. He says circumstances don't have anything to do with it. I can do all things through Christ. People who profess Christ that are governed completely by circumstances, number one, they really need to seriously examine their salvation. Number one. Number two, if they are saved, they certainly need to rearrange their entire life. Because we're not meant to be controlled by circumstances. And we don't have to be controlled by circumstances. Because Christ is in us. And He's working. And He strengthens us. And we're able to rise above circumstances. And I realize we're flesh. And things happen and we get down. I understand that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about getting down momentarily. I'm talking about staying down. I'm talking about being just controlled. Moods are controlled. Thinking is controlled. If controlled by circumstances. That's no better than a lost person. That's what happens to the lost. But Christ, again, Paul is in adverse circumstances. And he says, I can do all things. Not in and of myself, but through Christ. And the reason being is because he strengthens me. He continues to strengthen me. So here is a man not left to himself. That's the Christian life. We're not left to ourselves. He's not struggling alone. Oh, sure, he's got sinful flesh, so he's got struggles, just like all of us. But he's not struggling alone. Christ is in him and strengthening him. So the Christian life is not lived alone. You don't have to try to live this life in your own strength. Because if you do, if you try to do that, you will wear yourself out in no time. And you will become very, very discouraged. The Christian life was not meant to be lived in human strength. It requires supernatural strength. It's Christ pulsating in us. It's Christ's life pulsating in us. So here's a man. He's in prison. He's suffering persecution, mistreatment. He's treated with derision and scorn. From human appearances, he's facing death. Yet he's able to send out this message from his prison cell. A message of joy. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Lest the Philippians think, as Paul is speaking of his joy and his pursuit of Christ and how his mind is upon Jesus Christ, lest they think that this is all of him, he says, it's through Christ. It's through Christ. I can't do any of these things except through Christ. So no matter how difficult it was, he had a spiritual undergirding through Christ. The Christian life is a life strong in the Lord. It is a life of strength. A life of strength. We see also Paul here is calling attention to Christ. If he simply said, I can do all things, well, that would be calling attention to himself. But he said, I can do all things through Christ. So he makes a statement about himself, but he very quickly calls attention to Jesus Christ. He is boasting, not in himself. He is boasting of Jesus Christ. And that is part of the Christian life. Part of the Christian life is to call attention to Jesus Christ. Our life simply by itself is to call attention to Jesus Christ. If we didn't say a word, our life is to call attention to Jesus Christ. But of course, we are to speak. And our words are also to call attention to Jesus Christ. And we're to boast of the Lord. We're to give Him the glory. We're to give Him the credit. Be careful. Be careful who you give credit to. The Lord deserves the glory, not man. So, in our text, Paul is paying tribute to Christ. Is that not the Christian life? The Christian life is simply a life paying tribute to Jesus Christ. What he's doing here in our text is he's exalting Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ is, again, the operative sentence, phrase here. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It is a statement of assurance. I can do all things through Christ. Because he strengthens me. It's a statement of assurance. It is a statement of conviction. It is a statement of gratefulness of Jesus Christ working in him. That's the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of assurance. It's a life of conviction. It is a life of gratefulness. But do you not also in those words, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? There's humility there. There's humility. It's as if he's saying, I can't do anything unless Christ strengthens me. And if Christ strengthens me, I can do all things. Takes us back to John 15, verse 5. So it's a statement of humility. It's a statement of trust. I mean, if you know this is so, I can do all things through Christ, who are you going to trust? You're going to trust Christ. So it's a statement of trust. Again, this is the Christian life. It's a life of humility. It's a life of trust. In this statement, Paul also realizes that he has responsibilities in the service of the Lord. I can do. Christian life involves doing. He said, I can do. So he realizes there are responsibilities, but he realizes that in order to fulfill those responsibilities, he needs Christ. And as you read this verse, it's a statement that's exceeding broad. There's no conditions. There's no conditions. It's just simply, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Christian life is exceeding broad. It's not something you just put in a box. You have separate files. It covers our whole life, our entire life. But not only does this verse serve as an explanation and a description of the Christian life, it's also an encouragement to the Philippians. What Paul says in our text is not only true of himself, But it would also be true of those he was writing to. And it's true of all of God's people. It's true of all of God's people, whatever time they live. I can do all things through Christ. Now, throughout the book, Paul gives series of exhortations to the Philippians. And he's, by this statement that he made of himself in Christ, he is telling them, all these exhortations that I have given you, you can do. You can do every one of them through Christ. And Christ provides the strength. Notice in some of these exhortations, in Philippians 1 and verse 27, he said, only let your conversation, your life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So he exhorts them to a life becoming of Christ. And you can do it. You can do it through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Don't try to do it on your own strength. Don't try to gather strength from other individuals. But through Christ. Through Christ, we can live a life becoming of Christ. He also tells them to stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel there in Philippians 1:27. Again, this church was poor from 2 Corinthians 8. They were persecuted. And Paul said, stand fast in one spirit. That is, be unified. Have one mind. I don't know how many people were in the Philippian church. None of us do. Doesn't matter whether it had been 50 people or 500 people. They would have one mind. One mind. How do you do that? How do you get a group of people of different personalities, different backgrounds, different upbringings? How do you get that group of people to have one mind? Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Chapter 2 and verse 2, he pleads again for them to be unified. Verse 3 of chapter 2, he pleads with them that they would have a humility toward each other, considering each other better than themselves. And in chapter 2, verse 4, he encourages them to look after the interests of each other. In chapters 2, verses 5 through 8, he exhorts them to have the mind of Christ. How do you do that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There is also in chapter 2, verse 14, he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. All things. We don't do that in our own strength, but we can do it through Christ. We can do it through Christ strengthening us. Chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, they were to remain separate from the world, being a testimony of the Lord. And along those lines, you can't be a testimony for the Lord, not a good testimony, if you're not separate from the world. So he exhorts them to be separate. They were to be as lights. A crooked and perverse generation. They were to have a testimony. We can't do that in our own strength. But I can do all things through Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1, he calls upon them to rejoice. To rejoice. To rejoice in the Lord. to be always pursuing Jesus Christ, always pursuing Christ in all things. We don't do that in our own strength, but we can do that through Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1, he again tells them to stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord. And again in chapter 4, verse 2, be ye of the same mind. There it is again. In the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. How do we do that? Through Christ, who works in us, who's strengthening us. We do it by abiding in Christ, by drawing from Christ. Chapter 4, verse 6, he tells them not to be anxious. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. How do you do that? Do you just tell yourself, stop being anxious, stop worrying? That doesn't work. It's through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Tells them, rather than being anxious, to be people of prayer and thanksgiving. There in chapter 4, in verse 6. And then in chapter 4, verse 8, he tells them to think spiritually. Think spiritually. That is one of the keys to rising above circumstances. It is one of the keys in living the Christian life. Think spiritually. Do not think carnally. Think spiritually. And the only way we can do that is Christ working in us. Christ working in us. So you see, Philippians 4 verse 13 really describes the Christian life. It explains Paul's life, but it serves also as an encouragement to you and I. Sometimes we're called upon to do difficult things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So in light of those words, don't cease from the work of the Lord because you are unable to perform it. Cease from yourself. And that's what the Bible teaches. Don't cease from the work of the Lord because it's too great for us, but cease from yourself. I can do all things through Christ. You can be the parent you ought to be. You can be the husband, the wife, the church member, whatever position you hold in this life. You can be what you ought to be. We can do what we ought to do through Christ. He's our strength. He's the source of our strength. There is no need to go anywhere else for strength. He's already in us. He's working in us. He's strengthening us. So again, we have to live our life in relationship to Jesus Christ. And this is the problem. For many today, as they're trying to live a Christian life apart from Christ, that's an impossibility. It's impossible. It's an effort in futility. It's a waste of time. But Christ is in us, and He's greater than anything outside of us. He's greater than ourselves, and I can do all things through Him. Why? Because He strengthens us. And that's why we have to pray often, Lord, give me the strength, give me the strength, give me the strength. And he does. He gives us the strength to keep going and to keep doing what we ought to do. Brother Tim, would you come and lead us in verse of song?